98.5 The Sports Hub is Boston's home for sports. 98.5thesportshub.com is Boston's home page for sports. Add it to your bookmarks and stay in the game. It's T&R, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Kutcher and Rich. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics and is brought to you by GE. GE is creating game-changing solutions and advanced analytics for peak performance on the parquet. GE, the exclusive data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics. Danny Ainge, hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We are fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us again. Yesterday, we had Mike Gorman on. Are you aware of who he is?
I do know Mike, yeah.
He's
for quite a few years.
He's a legend. Yes.
Absolutely a legend.
Okay, so he's on. Brad Stevens made the statement, and he said unequivocally that Hayward was not going to play this year. And then Gorman said, well, I think the way that he's training, that Gordon Hayward believes in his mind that he is going to play. What is your take on that whole situation?
I don't believe that Gordon thinks he's going to play.
Oh, you don't think Gordon thinks he's going to play?
I don't think so, no.
So why the, I've heard he's been working out 8-9 hours a day. If you're not going to play.
Or why the videos, too, showcasing that. I mean, they're working out. I mean, he's got a great work ethic, so I'm not going to say that's why he's doing that. But why try to show the world that you might be getting ready for something? It just seems like he wants everyone to know that he might be making a return.
I think that Gordon just wants to show everyone when he comes back next year that, you know, all the work that he put in to get back to who he was when he got here, or even better player than he was when he got hurt.
What's the final box that needs to be checked? Like when will you know it's time for him to come back?
Well, you know, again, we talked about this last week, but he just is, he's not even full weight bearing on his foot doing anything yet. He is on the Alter G, which is half his body weight, maybe up to 60% of his body weight. And, you know, there's just a long way to go before he can get out on a basketball court. And then once he's 100% cleared physically, which he's not close to that yet, there's a long process of just, you know, getting your mind and your confidence in your foot and overcoming the mental part of it.
So you're saying he's playing? I understand. I'm reading by him.
Now I know what you guys did to Mike Gorman yesterday.
Listen, Gorman just wants the best for everyone. Okay. I don't know if it's the time of year or what the Celtics have been going through, but there has been a debate here at the station and around sports media about the value of Al Horford and if he deserves to be a max player. You know, if you look at his statistics, it doesn't really rival other max players. Is he capable of taking over a game at the end? Can you kind of explain what Al Horford does that we as basketball novices might not be getting?
Well, I think that Al hasn't played as well as he has played last year, or has he played early in this year for the last few weeks. But I think that I have all the confidence in Al. He's a real pro. He prepares. You know, Al is not out there trying to fill up a stat sheet. Al's trying to get other guys going and get everybody on the same page. And he's a great leader in our locker room. And, you know, Al is really, really important to our team. I mean, he does so many things that don't show up in a box score. And just his versatility, the fact that, you know, he's been able to go out and defend a lot of the perimeter four men that are so hard, the Porzingis's and the Giannis's. Early in the year when we had them on our schedule, I think two or three times fairly early, Al shows his value in his passing, his shooting. He's one of our best three-point shooters. You know, I think he hasn't played as well as he would like to play just lately, but I'm not worried about Al. He's always ready.
All right, so Marcus Smart just got fined $15,000 for being critical of the officiating in that Houston game, and I've always found that odd. Do you believe that players should never mention whether they thought they got fouled or they didn't get fouled, and they should never argue the officiating at all? Or do you think that maybe it's time to reevaluate fining players for speaking their mind on what they thought may or may not have been right about the officiating?
I think it, from a league standpoint, it'll never end if that's the case. I mean, there's a lot of complaining going on the court. They're trying to, I mean, the officials are very challenging to deal with. They always have been, from players and coaches' standpoints. And, I mean, there's a lot of complaining that goes on that's legit. There's a lot of complaining that goes on that's not legit, and but it seems like the referees take the brunt of that. And the league has made a statement that they don't really want players talking about or coaches referring to the officials in their media, in their press conferences.
But I understand, like, if they go over the line, but they're also human beings. And a lot of these guys end up getting fined for just the heat of the moment, being steamed about a foul that they didn't believe happened that cost them a game. And they don't say anything cruel about the refs. They're just complaining about the one that was called. Don't you think that there needs to be a little bit of a pullback on just how strict the NBA is on these guys? Because after all, they are human beings.
No, listen, I was a player and a coach that loved referees. So I think I understand the human side of it. I totally do. And but you know, they're trying to prevent players from going over the lines. They have certain guidelines and they've shared those with the players, and they continue to make a point about things that can and can't be said. And you know, players just have to learn to adapt.
Danny, if there is a knock on Kyrie Irving's game, it is that he will miss a handful of games to 10 games a season. He won't play 82. You'll miss him for some period of time. He's been sitting with a knee problem. He announced to the media that he's going to play tonight. How is Kyrie's knee? Is this something he's going to have to manage for the rest of the season, or is it just like a bump in the road?
No, I think that it's something that he'll have to manage the rest of his career. I don't think it's anything serious, but you know, we want Kyrie healthy and fresh, and he carries a heavy burden, the offensive load that he carries. So we're okay with him missing some games. We feel like we have a deep roster, and we need him to be healthy and fresh. And we knew going into the year that he would not play 82 games in the regular season. So this is just a maintenance type of thing, and Kyrie knows his body better than anybody, and so him along with our training staff together, they make those decisions that are best for Kyrie and for the team in the long run.
And to that point, Terry Rozier has filled in very well for him when called upon. How do you think your bench has gone? Do you expect what you see now from the bench for the rest of the season, or are they playing a little high over their heads?
Well, I think they're playing really well. You know, it's hard to sustain that kind of performance night in and night out with as many games as we play. But again, you know, we're trying to gear up for the playoffs, and I've been very encouraged by what I've seen from our bench lately. So that's good. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some games where they're not as good as they have been lately. But again, we're trying to gear up for the playoffs, and the team is gaining confidence in one another, and I think that's what's most important.
And Danny, have you had a sit-down, heart-to-heart discussion with Kyrie Irving about just how bad his Uncle Drew trailer looks this new movie?
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
Yeah, don't watch it.
It's a bad idea, isn't it, Danny?
Yeah, this movie, the whole movie.
You
thing.
Won't look at him the same, Danny, unfortunately, and not a good way, because at some point it's going to come up and you're going to have to talk to him about it, and you're not going to want to.
So I go around to these college games, and I'm sitting in there watching the Big Ten last year in New York. I'm in Vegas this week and watching all these games, and I have people come up to me all the time and introduce their children to me, who they obviously have no idea who I am. And they say, oh, you know, he works for the Boston Celtics, and this is Danny Ainge. And like the kids, the first thing they always say is, do you know Kyrie Irving? That's the first question they ask every time. I mean, he is such a big name out there, and those kids love that Uncle Drew stuff.
Well, you know what they don't say? I wish I could see him in a movie.
Listen, I hope it's good. I hope the trailer is completely sending the wrong... I don't know. Usually you put the best parts of the movie in the trailer. Maybe that's just me and my way I would market it. But it's not... I would not recommend watching it, because then you'll have to actually talk about it with Kyrie, and that will be an awkward conversation.
Well, a one-minute commercial is just not quite long enough for Uncle Drew.
That's right. There's some subtleties and subtext that need to be... that you really need to get to. All right. Well, Danny Ainge, thank you for calling us from Las Vegas. We wish you well in your recruiting, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Well, I've been out of town for a couple of weeks. Tell me what's going on in Boston. Anything else exciting going on that I'm missing out on?
It snowed quite a bit, which you missed out on.
Oh, there's movement on the whole selling of marijuana, which I know you're really big into.
Yeah.
There is, what else is going on? We're thinking of making a vegetable garden in our backyard. I'll tell you, things are happening fast and furious, Danny. You're really missing out.
No sports-related excitement going on? Like, what's going on with the Bruins and the Red Sox and the Patriots?
Well, the Patriots, they have not done anything as of yet. The new Tom versus Time comes out on Monday.
Oh, yeah. That was sad.
The Bruins have a couple of big injuries, and David Backes was just suspended.
Oh, the Overwatch League got a big win over in L.A., the big the
Boston
video game
Uprising.
Yeah,
yes.
Ask Gordon Hayward about it. He knows all about
that's
it.
That's true.
You can bond with Hayward over the video game stuff.
Okay.
So we're treading water, Danny. There's not a lot to talk about, to be honest with you.
I mean, Wallach, you don't have anything better than that for me?
That's all I got. Danny, they're basically right. I mean, the Bruins have a couple of big injuries. Charlie McAvoy and Patrice Bergeron are not playing. They're both out for at least 3 weeks.
I mean, so Gordon Hayward's coming back.
Gordon Hayward will be back in a couple of weeks, in case you haven't heard. But other than that, not much. Unless you were a fan of Martellus Bennett, Patriots let him go yesterday.
I saw that.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, guys. Today.
Sorry to let you down.
All right.
Sorry to let you down.
Well, all right. We'll have another good week. We'll talk
next week. All right, there you go.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
It's all fun and games until you announce that Gordon Hayward's coming back on our show.
Yeah, that's kind of drew it to a halt, didn't it?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, well, that's not really.
Yeah, no
like, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
Talking about the game is no game.
Danny Ainge, what does it feel like the day you see your baseball card and the word bust is put next to it?
Sure and Rich.
I don't have a problem with that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. Maybe Godsey could come in tomorrow as well.
Hey.
Oh, man. I mean, listen, let's just throw the whole thing at it. Let's have 40 people in studio. I got no problem.
No, we need to talk to Godsey a couple more times.
We
can do all that. So, Rich, you have...
Yeah, let me just play this here, Fred. There's really not a lot of explanation to set this up other than, I told you.
The Amazon Echo users are reporting that Alexa has been letting out a spontaneous and rather creepy laugh, completely unprompted. Imagine that. Some are even saying that they'll hear random chuckles coming out of their Alexa in the dark long after they've gone to bed. Now, just to give you an idea of what it sounds like, take a listen. Imagine being in your living room at 11 p.m. in the dark and you hear that. Well, we reached out to Amazon, try and get a an answer about Alexa's spooky laugh. Haven't heard back from them yet. Of course, people are trying to just get to the bottom of it. Nobody's really solved the mystery yet.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me, and I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
They're listening to you, and now they're coming to murder you. In the middle of the night, they're laughing at you, mocking you. Everything you say, and now this is where it turns. This is where they turn on you. And this is where they attack you in your sleep.
How would the Alexa attack you in your sleep?
Well, it controls all the other different electronics. It's like Maximum Overdrive, Fred. So next thing you know, the fridge flies open and shoots a can of squirt in your head.
Well, I don't know if it could do that. I mean, the most it could do is turn the music on loud.
Mm-hmm, and then a giant tractor trailer with an elf head on the front runs you over.
I understand the hesitation to use the Alexa. Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hopefully a bunch of people's crap went off. I understand.
Did this happen to anybody? Did anybody's Alexa start just in the middle of the night laughing at them? Because there's been no explanation yet. There's not been one that at least I find satisfactory.
Do you think it's someone on the other end is listening and that they've been told a knee slapper?
It could be. Well, listen, we do know someone on the other end is listening. That's no question. It's constantly collecting information.
Well, it's a computer that's collecting information.
Did you hear about this murder case that the defense has subpoenaed information that is collected by Alexa because there was a murder that happened in a house that had one of them, and since it's constantly listening and collecting data, they're trying for the first time to be able to see what it actually collected during the time of the murder. And of course, Amazon has been very protective of any of the information that they got. They obviously don't want the world to know what indeed they're listening for. And so this is becoming a big thing in the news, so whether or not you could do that.
So the most people are under the belief that even if Alexa is not turned on, if it's plugged in, it's listening to everything that you say.
Well, it is. It has to listen for you to say Alexa. So it's listening at all times.
Okay.
And collecting
data. That
makes
sense.
So, I mean, it's that's there's no question whether it's listening to you. But there's been other questions about what it's all being used for. Is it being used for marketing? Is it being used to being sold other things? We've talked about this all the time with Facebook and how it ends up marketing towards you with things you just were standing near, weren't even discussing out loud, weren't even Googling. And Alexa, you'd let this thing sit there and steal all of your information as you have these private conversations and then sell it to the highest bidder. And I don't know why. So you can hear Smash Mouth, or you can hear whatever song your kid wants to hear, or say, hey, what time is it? And then it tells you what time it is.
Yeah, my Alexa it's been used for two things, because I got it for free. I ordered something from Amazon, and it came with an Alexa, like the small one.
Yeah.
And it's been asked, what is a fart, 10 times, and the time that I opened my computer and realized that someone had ordered mac and cheese, chocolate, and some toy, and it was my daughter, who had a friend over who knew how to do that. They knew how to order off of off of Alexa.
It's not tough, is it?
No, you say, Alexa, I want macaroni and cheese. You know, that's all you have to do. It happens to everyone who has one of those things. Because my daughter, her friend, they took it upstairs and plugged it in.
Somebody said that the Alexa laugh sounds familiar.
May I present Princess Leia, my new vehicle.
Oh, that's scary.
Do you think Amy Lawrence is the person behind Alexa?
It could be.
Whoa. That her and her cats get around the Alexa?
She is up late at night.
Whoa. She is up late at night.
That's right.
She's up late at night. Does she have cats, John?
No, I believe a dog is what she has.
May I present Princess Leia, my new vehicle?
Wow. Freaky. That is pretty damn close.
Maybe they just tuned into the Amy Lawrence show and they realized that, and they started going mad. They listened to it in the third hour of talking turkey on Thanksgiving. Got to them, and they started going crazy.
Yeah, that's almost like when Tom Brady called in. It's so close.
Yeah, that's right. Mike, go ahead.
So I was in a Stop and Shop yesterday with my pregnant girlfriend, and no one knows. We haven't even told our families yet. So we do our grocery shop, and we go to the register. She takes her smartphone. She scans it on the register for her code or whatever for the coupons. We check out, the coupons start printing out.
I know.
Well, there you go. So do you have Alexa?
No, I have no Alexa. She was just researching because we had kind of been thinking that might be the situation. So she had been researching online on her phone, checking out different apps or different whatever she does on there. Yeah. And now all of a sudden these coupons stop printing up.
Yeah, everything's tied together. I mean, everything. It's like every little bit of information from you.
Well, yeah, if you Google something, they're gonna know.
Right. It's when you don't say anything except for, or you don't Google anything, or you don't put anything into your phone, don't take a picture of anything, because I've had that backfire on me before, and just have a discussion with your phone next to you about something random, and then you get an ad, that's mortifying, because then that means that they're listening to you.
Rich, go ahead.
Hey, all right, so one day I'm at my girlfriend. She has that in her bedroom, and she asked her Alexa how's your day, and she said something that's on the on this saying, well, the one thing I hear all the time is meows, and her cat is in her room all the time, and that's the, she said the most prominent word is meow, and then she also said that she brought up her work, my girlfriend's work, in like something as you know, what are we doing today or something, and she told her basically that she was going to go to her work.
And she had never said that to, like, she had never gone, Alexa.
Whatever, like, mentioned her work specifically.
Wow. Okay.
I guess the judge dropped the case that involved the Amazon Echo. So they never had to give up the papers as to what was actually
said. That's what I have the Echo.
Well, the Echo and Alexa, Echo's the small version of Alexa,
yes.
Right? Yeah, yeah, it's like the, pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. Now, you have it, John, you use it all the time.
It's scattered throughout the house. I have one downstairs and one of those dots in each of my kids' rooms.
Now, what does that give you the, well, first of all, your kids are now being watched by the government, but
yep.
What does the Alexa in the kids' room allow them to do?
They ask about if the Bruins won the next day, they play songs. That's all they do.
All right, what do you use?
I haven't
ordered
anything yet.
What do you use it for?
It's mainly for the kids. I don't use it for much of
anything. What do you think Wallach uses it for? Alexa, play Pitbull.
Fireball.
Yep. That's what Wallach uses it for.
Yep. Alexis, what's Dr. Demento doing today? What if John just went, hey, Alexa, and they're like, hi, John, Dr. Demento is on today at 7 p.m.
Yep.
On AM 450. Derek, go ahead.
Hey, I'm a marketing executive, and I can 100% confirm that this happens. The way that corporations get around it by communicating data with each other is they de-identify the personal information. So instead of John Smith, born January 1st, 1970, you become customer 12345. They'll send that information over to Google. Google will connect the same similar information, match it up via that, and then send back patient 12345's information. And so in reality, the information has not really exchanged hands based upon your PHI, your personal information. Instead, only matches that, you know, customer number. And so then they go through their marketing systems and they cluster you via groups and say, all right, this cluster of this age group and this demographic is really interested in this over the past few weeks. Start marketing to them this information. I don't know if they're able to get that specific, but...
I see, mine have been very, very specific, but we're not with Alexa, just with my phone. Yes, you keep mocking me. But what a nightmare that would be if you just heard a strange laugh coming from a room and not knowing where it was coming from.
Yeah.
There's no explanation right now.
It could be Walk. It's just Alexa's pumping through yours and he's listening to the Curly Shuffle. That's always a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, we have the stack coming up, including odd news from the people at Silicon Valley,
mm-hmm.
the television show.
Yep, and also more information about the final episode of Tom versus Time.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
985, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what is it that we have not gotten to today?
So Sunday night, you're going to be watching the O.J. Simpson special, the If I Did It unaired week. Out of nowhere, just happened to find this tape. It's been buried for years.
I am not. I realize that he is guilty of the crime of murdering his ex-wife and her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really need any more details on that.
Well, this was an interview that was recorded years upon years ago that Fox News said, or not Fox News, Fox rather, say that they just happened to stumble upon that was is recorded after he was, of course, a free man.
Acquitted.
Acquitted although he was found guilty in the civil court.
Yes, civil trial.
So he made this book called If I Did It that came out and did an interview about it in order to get some sort of money. And I guess at the time people thought it was in bad taste, so Fox completely shelved the project, put this tape away, and I just love how now they're saying, oh, we just happened to stumble across this. No. You just think that now, because of the People versus O.J. Simpson and with him a free man, that you would get a nice little buzz from it. But here's the scene. This is the part where O.J. Simpson all but confesses that he was the one who did it. Now, remember, during this special, he's hypothetically speaking about somebody else other than him. He calls the person Charlie. He's telling a story, but he's not able to remember whether or not he's talking about a guy named Charlie or he's talking about himself in this clip.
Chapter 6 is called The Night in Question. Mm-hmm. And you write in the book, now picture this and keep in mind that this is
purely
hypothetical.
Hypothetical.
Yes. Why don't you tell me what might have happened on the night of June 12th, 1994? And let's just walk through the night.
First of all, this is very difficult for me to do this. It was very difficult for me because it's hypothetical. I know and I accept the fact that people are going to feel whatever way they're going to feel. You know, they're going to, whatever they want to feel. In the book, the hypothetical is... Charlie came by and mentioned something about what was going on at her house. This guy Charlie shows up, the guy who I'd recently become friends with, and I don't know why you had been by Nicole's house, but it told me you wouldn't believe what's going on over there. And I remember thinking, well, whatever's going on over there has got to stop.
Okay, so that is him going between Charlie and I and Charlie, and I guess he does that through the entire special, is that he can't switch off the head that thinks this is a hypothetical and then him going into him recalling what actually happened.
Well, maybe he's speaking as Charlie at times.
In the same sentence.
Yes. He's saying that Charlie did this case. And then it's an I because he gets absorbed into the character of Charlie.
That could be it. He's the ultimate method actor.
That I predict huge ratings for that. Hey, it's 24 years later. Anyone interested in something we already know the guy did? Let's all get on board with that.
I kind of want to watch it.
I have no desire whatsoever.
Not for a second.
I think it'll do okay. It wouldn't do great, but I think it'll do okay. There's idiots like me. I sat and I listened to that almost the entire hearing to find out if he was going to be paroled. When that happened, less than a year ago? I sat and listened to almost all of that. I was fascinated by it. He seemed like a man with almost no remorse, but maybe that's just me. But speaking of things that are going to be must-see television, and that is Stormy Daniels' first sit-down interview when she's able to talk about her relationship with Donald Trump, because it seems like that may actually happen despite the gag order, actually the agreement that she signed.
Yeah, Trump's a guy who was Trump's attorney in his first two divorces was on Fox and Friends yesterday and said that it's not... that Trump didn't sign it, so it's not legally binding. And then he said that these, hush payments generally don't hold up in court because it's a matter of freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the Fox and Friends people they ended that interview, boom. Like, as soon as that happened, they ended that interview. So, I was talking to my friend on the way home yesterday from work. This is, we are slowly crawling to the P-tape. And I was talking to my friend about the greatness of the P-tape. If you don't know this, the Russian dossier, a British spy released a dossier, and he believed, among other things, that the Russians had a tape that they were holding over the head of Donald Trump of him with prostitutes in a suite in Moscow. It was around the, the Miss Universe. And in this, there was peeing involved. And so... if this is true, they can't do anything to Trump. I mean, that's his business. I mean, if he wants that to happen. But could you imagine if that video's out, and oh, God, if there was audio, it would be the greatest. If that video's out, you know it's out. It's gone international. So every time you get up to speak, you're looking at the crowd, and they're all looking at you about the guy who got peed on. Then, like, you're meeting with, like, someone from Japan, like the leader of Japan. And the whole time, you know that he's seen a video of you getting peed on.
And everywhere you go and everything you, there's no escaping it because you're the president. I don't think there's anything anyone can do. The Stormy Daniels thing is going to be pretty good because she's going to talk about him like looking at himself on a magazine, but there's no picture. Well, my friend does have a theory that obviously you cannot trust this woman. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not trustworthy. If you're having sex with Donald Trump, at Donald Trump's age, I'm imagining that, you know, there might be something nefarious going on that you think you might be getting. So possibly a penis pick. My friend has a theory that is not out of the question that you could get that.
Well, was it yesterday? I have to look this up. There was a tweet that Donald Trump set out about how he wants to be tougher on intellectual property.
Yeah.
Which would mean texts, emails, things like that. And the timing is very suspicious. See, I have to just double check it. It was yesterday that he did that. The timing is very suspicious, seeing that yesterday was the day that Stormy Daniels' lawyer was talking about how she has proof in the form of texts, emails, and the same. Now, if you get to read those, you're right. One of those things might contain a picture that was sent.
Yes.
Oh, all I know is that this has made CNN very watchable for the most uncomfortable reasons. There was one of those segments had the four talking heads in the split screen.
Yeah.
And this is how things went down.
Trump's longtime attorney, Michael Cohen, has continued to attempt to silence Stormy Daniels as recently as last week. What's your reaction to this breaking story?
I can pretty much predict what the White House is going to say, which is that this is, somebody trying to get attention, trying to drive their own sort of PR effort here.
Kevin, are you saying that a porn star would actually try to call attention to herself? Shocking, right?
Kevin, you want
to... I mean, that's what porn stars do.
That's a nice little silence there.
That's what you think porn stars do.
By the way, am I the only one who has watched Stormy Daniels in action since this all came out?
Yes, you are. I have not.
How are you a human being?
I'm sorry. I know I've let you down here. It's true, though. I have not watched.
You have not looked at Stormy Daniels' pornography?
I have not.
Has anyone in there looked at Stormy... Okay, Lockhart has. Dan has not.
Nope.
Bird doesn't have a computer.
he just hits things with rocks.
Yeah. He just has Girls of Everett.
open door.
By the way, the tweet from Trump last night said, the U.S. is acting swiftly on intellectual property theft. We cannot allow this to happen as it has for many years.
Right.
Seems kind of random.
Well, and they'll be able to push that through right away. All I know is the video of the pee tape would be the best thing that ever happened in the internet's history. It would be the funniest thing that's ever happened in the internet's history.
I would agree. I hope to God it exists.
And it's just the embarrassment. Look, he's not going to get impeached for that. There's nothing to get impeached for. I mean, he was just up there having a good time. If he has sex with Stormy Daniels, he has every right.
Fine.
But there's no legal reason to get rid of him.
Sure. No.
But can you think you're the president of the United States? Like, if you were Al in accounting, you know, in Scranton, it would be bad enough.
Yeah.
But the video, you know, that just goes around the office. You can move.
Yeah.
If you're the president, the most famous person on the planet,
I'm only happy when it rains.
And everyone you meet knows and saw what happens. Oh, it would be fantastic. Oh, it'd be it's 1,000 times better than a sex tape. Because I was talking to my friend about this too. Like, sex tapes suck. Like, I don't even like seek them out anymore. The Gene Simmons one was funny because it just looked like the most miserable experience for the both of them. But I mean, I didn't watch the whole thing. I mean, I kind of got the gist of it when he was in a prone position for about 2 minutes. But, like, when was the last time you sought one out? Like, I've never seen the Kim Kardashian one. I've seen the Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson one. We own the Paris Hilton one because my wife got it because she was so into Paris Hilton.
Was that the one when she locked up your computer forever and ever?
Yeah, I used to do voice tracking in San Francisco, and they built me a computer, which my wife promptly busted by hitting every single banner ad that involved the Paris Hilton tape. In fact, it's the only DVD of pornography that we have in our home.
Oh.
And it's in a safe, everybody. So there you go. I am very much, if that pee tape comes out, mwah, it's all I'm going to do. We're doing 2 months on it. It's all I'm gonna. I don't care if the Bruins win the Cup, if the Red Sox are in the World Series, if the Patriots are in the Super Bowl. I'm laser focused on that tape.
Yep. That's right.
Does anyone else understand what I'm saying? Like, if he meets with Putin, and he's Putin's not sure if he wants to shake his hands. and I don't care who you are, man, woman, Republican, Democrat, socialist, whoever you are. Deep down, you want to see that tape, and you want to see it like nobody's business. That would outgross Black Panther. First week and it was out. I'd charge $1,000 to see it. If I had the tape, I'd charge $1,000 to see it. I'd pay $1,000 to see that tape.
Is this Yellow?
Yes. This is the song that we played consistently at 99X, and I said, why? We will be back. We'll find out what Zoe and Bertrand's take on the possible P-tape involving Donald Trump.
It was all yellow.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We are Thatcher and Rich. Did you see the Tommy Lee thing where his kid allegedly hit him?
Yeah, I did.
And then Tommy Lee put a picture of his face up on Twitter, and he was like, you know, you give someone everything that they could want, and this is the way they treat you. Thanks a lot. See, his name's Rob. Thanks a lot, Rob. Nice son.
No, it's Brandon. I know that because the worst Motley Crue song of all time was written by him, called Brandon.
Whatever the guy's name is. It's just like, you're an adult.
Yeah.
This is, and then he put out another tweet about how his kid hit him. Why did you have to tweet that? Why would you tweet that your kid hit you?
Yeah,
that couldn't be handled internally?
Yeah.
You had to jump on Twitter?
Nowadays, nothing's handled internally. We saw that from that video of that guy punishing his child and then doing a live stream to tell the world how great a dad he was.
So you call the cops and you say, I've been assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take, the first thing you do is you take a picture of your face and then call out your son for hitting you?
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get those.
It's because it's, you can't live for 1 second without everything being public.
Pretty much. Yep. That's the way that these people have become.
I mean, that's a problem. And by the way, Tommy Lee, that doesn't make you look good.
No.
The fact that your son hit you in the face.
No.
It's not. I mean, can you imagine that? Nice son. Dude, you're in your 50s.
I have to read this real quick. Earlier in the show, we tweeted out, who is the most unathletic looking athlete, pitchers and golfers not included? And Scott Zolak tweeted back, Uke.
Yep.
And guess who liked that tweet? Uke. Kevin Youkilis liked his tweet.
Big fan of Scott Zolak. There Zolak and Bertrand are probably over the moon because they are broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studios at the TD Garden for the Bruins game day.
Did you see that, Zoe?
Yeah, I did. And he reminded me that my body got me a backup position in a broadcasting gig, and he got two World Series with his body.
now you're kissing his ass because you ripped on him. I understand.
No, I didn't rip on him.
Now what's he doing?
He's my number one ugly guy.
He's the number one ugly guy.
You said no pitchers. That's the key. There's
Well, I mean, the pitchers is too easy because you name seven immediately.
Yeah, you could.
What about
I could
dead
go
athletes.
I guess
Dennis Johnson.
Okay.
God, was he ugly?
Yeah, but it was,
oh no, no
it's not ugly. We're talking unathletic.
Who is the guy? You know who is real ugly? Who is the guy that would get his head patted? Tavares.
Beltre? Beltre had his
head. No, Tavares. Remember when Manny Ramirez was petting his head?
Julian Tavares.
Yeah. Julian Tavares.
The devil in that, man. Big baby. Very large individual.
All right. So you guys are down there. I'm sure it's...
Oh, yeah, we're here.
It's Action Central, I would imagine. So what do you guys got going on today? I got to know.
We got a little construction set. You can hear, listen, going on above us. Jackhammers are out, guys.
Oh, yeah?
Do you hear it?
No.
Hold on. Wait. They were just going back and forth.
No.
Maybe they're noises in my head.
Do you hear the jackhammers? I hear them. Where are my pills?
Hey, did you guys decide on who's coming in tomorrow?
We're doing that in just a minute. We're about to go to the other room and come down. We have four that we're trying to decide between.
Edel and I both vote for the guy sitting at his desk with the eyebrows. It looks a little more like Leonard Nimoy.
The older gentleman?
Yes, and he has older to take compared care of his to, house. And he likes
older
his,
compared to, like, yeah. the 20-somethings?
I'll have to take a look.
He likes his coffee hot.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. That guy, we played him. He just ripped on everyone.
Yes. Yeah, he was awesome.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, then you haven't seen the female wrestler. You haven't seen the guy who dresses up in the clown mask and is all spooky. And you definitely haven't seen Mad Dog McGee, the guy. He looks like a dude from the band, the Sling Blade Band.
Yeah. Which one was he again?
McGee. He should be under the name McGee.
It's
jackhammers are out again.
See, I don't hear it.
Good.
Beatles, do you hear it?
I'm here.
Whole set's vibrating.
Yeah, but I'm making sure it's just not in Zolak's head.
No. It's loud here, but I'm glad you don't hear it. That's good.
That's it, right?
By the way, I'm insisting that McGee is part of this. I'm insisting upon it.
Okay.
What was the movie with Dan Aykroyd where he went down south and had the Humpty Dance and they had the two sloths?
Nothing
but Trouble?
Nothing but Trouble. That's it.
Nothing but Trouble. And they had those two guys underneath. I said, woo.
One of the worst movies of all time. Impossible to get through. Tupac in that movie.
A Tupac?
Yeah.
It was also Chevy Chase, Demi Moore,
yeah.
John Candy.
No, because isn't Digital Underground featured in that movie at one point?
Yeah, same song.
Yeah, but they're in the movie, right?
I don't remember.
I just know there was a video for it. Okay, I never saw the movie.
Yeah, okay, that's Tupac. All right, you guys enjoy yourselves. It sounds like it probably was pretty fun getting out there. And
it was actually easy. Nobody on the roads, and the roads were clear.
Oh, well, good.
Listen. It was fun last night watching people from Channel 7 point to the ground and said, this here will be snow soon. Like, the storm was so late. I think they had a different timeline. And they had everybody out. Steve Cooper's trying to pick up grass blades. These blades will soon be snowflakes.
Well, that's why he's the best in the business.
You can't beat it.
That's Steve Cooper. He's a real talent. All right, you guys have a great afternoon. We will be back.